got your Bibles, we're going to Romans chapter 12 today. Romans chapter 12. Now, last week, Pastor, he was supposed to preach through verses 1 through 8, but he is the pastor. He can do whatever he wants. He only made it to the first two verses, okay? And so we're going to try to finish up and get through verse 8 today. And so he told me, Brother TJ, I'm sorry, I didn't get through all 8. And I said, you can do whatever you want, Pastor. You're the boss. And so we're going to try to finish those up today. If you would, let's all stand to our feet if you're able. We're going to read God's Word together, these 8 verses this morning. And we will start in verse 1, and we'll work our way through verse 8. And by the way, if you've ever wondered from time to time here at our church, you say, why do we stand when we read the Bible? Well, it goes back to the Old Testament. I believe it's the book of Nehemiah, where the children of Israel would gather, and they would all stand to their feet. And they would read God's Word together. And so that's why we do that from time to time on Sunday morning. Now, I know you think it's just because we're trying to keep you awake. That's the other reason we do it. But we're going to read this together this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And verse number 3, that's where we're going to be at today, 3 through 8. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. For he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. This morning we're going to continue this series on our behavior towards God and towards man, according to Romans chapter 12. Let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll let you be seated afterwards. Dear Heavenly Father, God above, we ask you to be with us this morning. Lord, as the children are downstairs having their lessons, Lord, would you be with the kids today? God, as the junior high is up in their teen department, Lord, they're hearing from your word too. Would you bless that service? Lord, as we're here in the big service with all of our adults and many of our older teens, God, would you speak to our hearts today through your word? Lord, we love you. That's why we're here. And we want, God, your word to speak to our hearts. Lord, please bless us and use me this morning as I give your message from Romans 12 in your precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I'm not going to re-preach Pastor's sermon this morning, okay? But verses 1 and 2, Pastor talked about last week. And in verse 1, the Bible tells us what we are to give. And the answer is this, ourselves. God wants me and you to give our lives to him. Now, praise the Lord. I hope you're here this morning and you've given the Lord your life at salvation on the day you trusted Jesus as Savior. But more than that, even after salvation, he wants you to give your life to him. By the way, there's no greater decision on planet Earth than to get saved and trust him as Savior, but then also turn around and say, you know what, Lord, would you take my life and would you use it? That is one of the greatest decisions you can ever make. And so that was verse number 1. And then in verse number 2, it's how to live after I give Christ my life. I wrote this down. God does the changing of our life. Aren't you glad that God does the change in your life? Some of you could come up here and you could testify. And you could tell what you used to be before you met Jesus. And now you could show your life now and say, hey, look at the change that God has brought. I love that. God changes life. But I'm here to tell you, God cannot change your life unless you let him. See, God doesn't force you to change. He won't force you to be like him. Now, he wants you to be like him, but he's not going to force you. He allows you to make that decision. And I think one of the greatest decisions you can make is say, you know what, Lord, I want you to change my life, change my heart, change my thinking, change my thought process, and let him do the work. I grew up with two working parents. My mom and dad worked during the day, and so in the summer, I had to have a babysitter. Anybody else grow up with a babysitter? By the way, I had many babysitters. Some of them never came back. Okay, me and my brother, I understand. Okay, there was one, I supposedly hit her with a pencil and stabbed her with a pencil. I don't remember that. She remembers it very well. She never came back. Okay, so I had babysitters growing up. And I remember the one babysitter I had, I would get up, me and my brother would get up, and she would have the TV on. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm like a bug to a light. You put me in a room with a TV, I'm like, I can't help it, man. At restaurants, if you put a TV, it's like me and my wife are out to dinner, and it's like, TV. It could be it's dumb. I don't even know, man. It's like, I don't know. Anyway, whatever's on, I can't help it. Man, I came down the one day, and my babysitter was watching one of those makeover shows. Now, of course, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But, of course, I complained. Let's turn on SportsCenter. But after a few minutes, I'm sitting there with my popcorn watching this makeover show, right? Okay, bug to a light. And, of course, in all these shows, you know, you got the guy, and he'll go into his closet, and, of course, he's fashioning people, and he'll say, this is my favorite shirt. And, of course, it's the world's ugliest shirt. I wear this every other day. And, of course, he shows it to the fashion people, and they're like, you know, we need to burn it, incinerate it. Okay, what about this pair of pants? And they go through, basically, they throw his whole everything out, right? They'll take him to the store. They'll start buying, hey, this looks good, man, this will fit you right, man. And of course, he's trying to, he's like, ha, ha, ha. I've always wondered, do they actually keep wearing this stuff, though? You ever thought about that? Okay, I know, you've never thought about that, but you weren't forced by a babysitter to watch this, okay? I was. As you watch that show, here's what you realize. If that guy doesn't want to change, he doesn't have to, does he? He has to choose to allow these fashiony people to allow them to change his wardrobe. He has to trust. By the way, what a trust, man. Putting your fashion in the hands of someone else. He has to trust that what they're telling him, it actually looks good on him. And the same thing goes for God. Listen, in our lives, God wants to change us. He wants to make him more like him, but he cannot do it unless me and you say, hey, what? You know what, Lord? I'm going to give you my life, and I want you to start changing me. My thought process, my heart, if there's sin in my life, Lord, would you fix it? Would you help me to correct it? And see, God wants to change us, but we have to take that step. And that's in verse number 2. Now we get to verse number 3, and here's where we're at this morning. And I want to I want us to notice a few examples and different things from verse number 3. There's a lot of good stuff in here, okay? Now, I lied to the 8:30 service. I know I was preaching, and you shouldn't lie when you're preaching, okay? I don't know if I lied. I just didn't tell them all the truth, okay? I'm actually going to preach 2 sermons in 1. Now listen, don't die on me. Some of you just, okay, same time, we're going to get done. But verse number 3, I want to look at separately, and then we're going to look at verse 4 through 8. Can I do that? Okay, I'm doing it anyway, so sorry, Pastor, okay? Here we go. Verse number 3 has got some really good stuff I want us to notice. Number 1, look at verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me. Boy, I told you, it went with our music today, didn't it? How many songs did we sing about grace this morning? The very first line in verse number 3 we're looking at this morning is about grace. And I want you to notice this. Number 1, every single person in this room, we've all been shown grace. We've all been shown grace. We understand what grace is. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. See, the simple fact is there's none of us in this room this morning that are perfect. I don't know about you. My wife would testify to the fact that I make mistakes. I'm not perfect. My mom would really testify to that, right? There's none of us in here that are perfect. And so when it comes to blessings in life, can I say this? Any blessings that come into my life are only because of God's grace. At my house, we have signs in our house that, you know, blessed. My wife has a shirt. It's one word, blessed. The reason we're blessed is not because of me. It's not because of my wife. It's only because God has decided to be gracious with me and with my wife. It's grace. Can I tell you this morning, every single one of us, God has shown grace. Maybe you're here this morning and you know what you used to be. You know the sins that used to keep you in bondage. You know the struggles you had to face. But man, Jesus came in one day and the change that happened, right? We talked about that. And you look at your life now, all the good that's coming, and you think, it is God's grace. Some of you are in that boat. There might be some of you in this boat, like Brother TJ, where, you know what, I avoided a lot of that. I was raised in a good home. I was raised in a good church. I missed out on a lot of those heartaches and problems and pain that come from sin. But as the song Amazing Grace, where it talked about that one verse, where the traps and the snares, we already got through them. Can I say this morning? I've been shown grace because I avoided them, not because of me, but because of God's grace. We all have been shown God's grace this morning. Paul says, hey, grace, and we all have it. I'm reminded also of the writer, Paul. Paul understood grace. Think about who Paul was. Paul was a Pharisee. In fact, he says a Pharisee of the Pharisees. It was Paul, remember, who at one time in his life didn't believe in Jesus. Didn't believe he was the Son of God, so much so that he was going after anyone who did. He was throwing Christians into prison. Remember, Paul was the one that was there holding the coats in the book of Acts where Stephen was getting stoned. And as Stephen was getting stoned, the Bible says, hey, Saul of Tarsus, now named Paul, he was standing there holding the coats. I didn't know this. I studied, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I read that sometimes and many times in those stonings, the guy who was holding the coats was the one who had thrown the first stone and had started it. He would start it and then step back and watch. You could argue that maybe Paul was the one who started it. We don't know. I do know he was there. Murdering a Christian. And guess who's writing this? Paul. You think Paul understood grace? Paul understood it probably better than some of us in here. Because it's not about him, it's what God had did for him. So number one, all of us have been shown grace. Look what he says next in verse 3. He says that every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Here's what happens. God gives us grace. The change of our lives starts happening. As we start growing towards the Lord, man, all of a sudden we start making better decisions. We start doing the right things instead of the wrong things. It's an amazing change that happens. But if we're not careful, Paul says this, you'll get all this grace given by God, and you'll start thinking it had something to do with you. You'll start looking at your life and go, hey, look at what I've got going here. You'll start looking at your godly family, and you'll start going, I'm doing a good job. Paul says you better be careful. You better realize that it has nothing to do with you. It has all to do with God's grace. He says you've got to humble yourself. Here's what's interesting. You read your Bible, and I could give you a lot of verses. I'm not going to take the time this morning. But God in his word blesses the humble and judges the prideful. He blesses those that are humble, and he judges those that are prideful. All of us in this room, we better be careful that we don't become prideful, because in the end, it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God's grace, and that's what Paul is trying to tell him. I hope you practice that. I try to practice that. I'll give you an example, and I'm not perfect at it, so don't think I'm perfect. But this morning, I'll preach. I'm doing it right now. Isn't that great? And I'll inevitably, this happens every Sunday or every time I preach, someone will come up to me and say, Brother TJ, man, that was a great message. I always think it's funny when I think, you were the one sleeping in that message. And I don't ever say that to them. I'm just kidding. But I have someone come up and say, Brother TJ, that was a great message. And I always say the same thing. Now, you might think I'm a robot. No, I'm not a robot. I'm doing this on purpose. I'll say this, praise the Lord. Because it's a reminder to me that every time I preach, who cares about me? It's about him. And if I preached a good message, it ain't have anything to do with me. It had everything to do with him. And so I'll say, praise the Lord. I'm glad it was a blessing to you. It was his word. Because that's all I'm preaching this morning. It's his word. Praise the Lord. That's just one thing I do. And all of us in our own hearts, in our own lives, we have to be careful. Because as we start growing in Christ, we start seeing spiritual victories happening. Because he's helping us. The change is happening. Grace, he's given it to us. But don't think it's you. It's him. And so we have to stay humble. Look what he says next. He goes on, verse 3, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. I notice this word think is in here multiple times. This is a mindset. It's something you have to mentally think. The Bible tells us we are to protect our hearts, right? Because out of the heart are the issues of life. And in our own lives, we've got to protect our hearts. Because if we don't, that's where things can go wrong. And as you study God's word, you realize there's ways into the heart. One is the eye. You think about the little kid song, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Because what you see affects your heart. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. What goes in your ears, even though you don't think so, it's affecting your heart. I'll preach to our teenagers and I'll say, hey, you better be careful of the music you're listening to. Because you put this stuff in there and what it's going is straight to your heart. I know people who listen to podcasts. I'm not against podcasts. But if you're listening to, let's say, a negative person, they like hate the world and hate everything. I hate this. I hate that. And you're listening to that. Well, guess where it's going? Guess who's going to start turning negative? You are, because it's going to your heart. And so you have these different things. One of those things is this. What you think and what you let your mind think about. And the Bible says here, Paul says, hey, when it comes to humility, you have to think about it. You have to purposely think, I'm going to be humble and I'm not going to be proud. And that takes a lot of practice and a lot of time. I also made a statement at 8:30 service. You can argue with me later if you like. If you think about everything that we do wrong, every sin, usually we thought about it before we did it. Now, sometimes, sure, maybe you have a rage moment, you fly off the handle, you didn't really think. You didn't think at all. Your brain flatlined like Brother T.D. earlier, right? We think. Our mindset is so important. And Paul says, hey, you must think soberly. You have to think humbly. It's a thought process. Now, everyone's still with me. That was sermon one. Are we good? Okay, that was not as many yeses as I thought. Do I need to pray again? Okay, here we go. Sermon number two. Now, I'm watching the clock. Here we go. Verses 4 through 8, they're kind of tied together, but I kind of wanted to separate them. I hope that's okay. Let's look at verse 4. The Bible says this, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Paul goes in here in verses 4 through 8, and he's going to talk about the body of Christ. Now, the body of Christ, very simply, is this. It's the church. It's the church. In your Bible, there's three different illustrations of a church that God uses. Number one, he uses a building. Building. Okay? You think about this verse. What you know not, your body is the temple of the Lord. When you trusted Christ, your body became God's house. Now, sometimes here's what we think. Church is God's house. No. Church is a building. And if we weren't here, do you think there'd be church going on in the church building? No. There'd be nothing going on if we weren't here. Are you getting that? So we say church, this building, it's us. It's when a group of believers who have Christ in their life assemble together and meet. Ecclesia, called out assembly. It's a church. And so one's a building. Another one is the bride. They sang about that this morning, the bride of Christ. The church is called the bride of Christ. When I got married to my wife, it was great. I said, hey, honey, me and you, we're now hitched forever. You're stuck with me. I didn't tell her that. She was happy about that, okay? We're together forever. Someday, Jesus is coming back for his bride. The Bible says he's the groom, we're the bride, and someday Jesus will come back and he will get his bride. That'll be that rapture event. He'll come to get us, and aren't you glad we get to spend forever with him after that in eternity? And so the bride of Christ. And then here, the third one is the body. God refers to a church as a body, a group of believers. So the body, and that's what Paul is talking about. I want us to know four thoughts. Sermon number two. Are you ready? Four thoughts. Number one. This is a big word. We'll see how many of you know what it means. Are you ready? It's like science class. I wrote this down. There are no vestigial organs in the body of Christ. How many know what the word vestigial means? Anybody? I hope some of our Grandview Christian Academy, where are they at? They're sleeping like normal in class. Amen. This word vestigial, I used to teach science and we talk about this. Vestigial means useless or worthless. Now, evolutionists still believe this, but even for a time, there was many doctors, scientists who believed that there was different organs in your body that we're not sure why they're there. They don't do anything. For instance, how many have had your tonsils removed? Raise your hand. Anybody have your tonsils removed? Okay, a few of you. Now, when I was in school, if you'd asked my class that question, every single person would have raised their hands. Yeah, my tonsils are removed. Nowadays, if you asked our students, hey, how many of your tonsils are removed? Most of them still have their tonsils. Why? For a long time, people thought tonsils didn't do anything. So when in doubt, cut them out. It's like I got a sniffle. Tonsil removal. Nowadays, they don't do that anymore. Why? Come to find out, the tonsils are important. And you shouldn't take them out unless you have to. Okay? In your body, every single organ, every single part of you that God made, it's there for a reason. By the way, if one of your, they're not functioning, there's a big problem, right? There are no useless or worthless organs in your body and in the church. There are no worthless or useless organs in the church. And by that, I mean you. If you're here this morning, a saved individual, can I say this? You have a purpose in this church. You have a spot that you are supposed to fill. Whether that's being a greeter, whether that's being an usher, whether that's being a singer, whether that's being a musician, there's a spot, there's a job, there's some function of the body, a body function that you are supposed to do. Because in a church, there are no useless or worthless organs. Now, you might be sitting, Brother TJ, I'm not very skilled. Okay, that's fine. I've got a million jobs here at church that I can help with someone who's not very skilled. Okay? You say, Brother TJ, I'm not that talented. Neither am I. And look at me up here, preaching. Hey, we'll find a spot for you. Because what you find in God's body, the church, is that every single person that is in a church, God says, hey, I've got a service, I've got a spot, I've got a plan, I've got something that I want you to do. And I hope this morning that you're serving at church. See, church is just more than coming and sitting. By the way, I love coming to church and sitting. I buckle my seatbelt. I'm just kidding. There's actually no seatbelts in the pews. But sometimes when the preaching's good, I feel like I need one. Okay? Some of you, you'll catch that later, okay? Pastor, be good preaching, all right? Listen, that's okay. But where are you serving at church? Where are you serving? Because it's a body. And God wants you to get involved and serve somewhere, somehow, some way. Are you serving? Here's what I found. I've been in ministry a long time. I've gone to church my whole life. I found that people that are not serving the Lord, Christians, by the way, Christians who are not serving the Lord, it's usually one of two reasons. Number one, they don't want to. They don't want to. Well, I'm busy. I think every person on planet Earth is busy. How many would say you're busy? Okay, I thought so. Every hand, well, some of you didn't raise your hand. You're just, okay. I got a twitch. I'll take a twitch. We're all busy. I found this. People just don't want to. By the way, I hope that's not you. I hope that's not you. I hope you're the type of Christian who you want to find more to do. And you're looking ways to be more busy. Because that's what God wants. The other one is this. People don't ask. Here's what sometimes Christians love to do. We need some VBS workers. We need some VBS workers. And you like wait for someone to ask you. Okay, now listen, we have a great staff. We have a great staff. And our staff, as you found, we will come after you. We will try to find you if you don't have a job. Mrs. Vestal will find you. Some of you know, you're like, amen. We'll try to find you, but listen, don't wait. One of the greatest, every time this happens, I'm just like, haha, it's great. When someone comes up, Brother TJ, I'm new to the church. And I just wanted to let you know, hey, if there's anything I can do to help the teen department, will you let me know? I'm thinking, you should not have told me that. They're looking to serve. And maybe here this morning, and you haven't gotten plugged in. Sure, you're a part of the body, but you're not functioning. You're not serving. You're not doing anything. Can I ask you, number one, do you care? And if you do care, will you go and try to find something to do? By the way, if you ask any staff member, we'll find a place for you to serve here. We've got a million. It's never ending. And by the way, we always have holes. Always. Spots where we can plug you in and get you serving. We want you because there are no vestigial, there's no useless organs in God's body, or the body of Christ, I should say. Number two, I wrote this down from verse number four. Look at verse four. The Bible says, for as many as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, don't let titles or lack thereof affect you. There are a lot of different titles. There's a lot of different positions. There's a lot of different ministries to serve in. But don't let a title or a position affect how you feel. If you're not careful, you'll get jealous. You'll say, well, why did Mrs. Vestal ask them to sing the solo and not me? What? Why did Brother Cameron ask them to? I play the same instrument. Better be careful. Why did they ask that person to teach Sunday school? I've been waiting for some. Remember, I said don't wait to ask. Okay, that's your problem. I'm waiting for some. You better be careful that you don't get envious and jealous about titles. Because in a church, there's a lot of different positions. So don't worry about everybody else's position. You do what God calls you to do. You do what God wants you to do in your life and here at church. You got to be careful. I'll give you an example of this. This was one of my good moments. Everybody check off the box. Brother TJ, good moment. Okay, I have them every once in a while. A couple months ago, we had a big Easter program here at our church. How many were here for that Easter program? We had over 100 people. Choir, orchestra. We decorated the whole stage. It was chaos. And we put on a big Easter drama. Okay? I was directing that. Woohoo. Okay? Everything went wrong, my fault. Everything that went right was never my fault, or never my fault, okay? Anyway, we get done, and what I always like to do is I always recognize all our people. I got up and I said, hey, you know, we had this person playing Jesus. Woo! This person playing Judas. Boo, okay? It was great. I recognized everybody. I got done, and I had one person say, Brother TJ, you forgot to mention yourself. I'm thinking, well, yeah, on purpose. Because number one, that's always weird. Hey, I'm the director, by the way. Clap for me. That's weird, number one. But number two, I didn't oversee it because of that. I oversaw it because I wanted and hoped that someone would get saved during that event. That some Christians would see Jesus and see the cross and see all that stuff going on and go, man, I got to get plugged back into church. I didn't do it for any recognition or anything like that. Because frankly, I don't need it. And can I say this? Me and you, we've got to be so careful about the recognition, the titles, the position. Because in the end, we're all one body trying to serve Jesus. By the way, great is the church. Who everyone? Main goal. Why'd you sing in a drama, Easter drama? Because I wanted to sing for Jesus. Hey, why'd you sweep the hallways? I swept these church hallways for Jesus. Why'd you get on a bus and go pick people up? For Jesus. By the way, if we have a church that says that, and a bunch of people doing and serving for Jesus, I'm telling you, God's going to bless our church. It's awesome. Number three, oh boy. It takes everyone doing their part to make a church function. Look at verse 5. So we being many, there's many of us in this room this morning. By the way, there's more than just in this room. There's people all around the property who right now are serving the Lord. And it takes many. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. It takes all of us doing our part to make a church function. I wrote down a whole list of stuff that's going on right now and this morning that happened here at church. Okay, I didn't write this one down, but I thought of it this morning. The coffee makers. How many got coffee when you came into church? Some of you did. I smelled it. That's nasty aroma as I walked in. I smelled it, okay? I don't like coffee. Some of you, it was the best thing you've ever smelled. Do you know what? Someone got here earlier before you and started the coffee makers in your Sunday school room. Some of them do it every week. I see some teen boys that every week are carrying coffee pots every Sunday morning before people are here at church, getting that coffee ready for Sunday school. That's just a little way to serve. Here's some other things. This morning, greeters greeted. How many saw a guy in a green jacket wave at you this morning when you came in the parking lot? You didn't even know their name. Most of you don't even know those greeters' names. And they don't care. They're doing it for Jesus. They wanted to show you that someone cares and showed up early to wave at you when you came in. Greeters greeted. Sunday school teachers taught. Somebody brought food to Sunday school. And by the way, if you've ever been to Sunday school and they didn't bring it, you cried a little bit. Some of you are still bitter right now. We'll have an invitation later. You can deal with your bitterness on your teacher not bringing snacks, okay? If I don't bring snacks to the teen boys, they look at me like a bunch of ravaging wolves going, what did you do, Brother TJ? Somebody brought food. They made it. They bought it. It took time. Pianists played. Singers, by the way, correct grammar here. I put sung, retyped it, and wrote singers sang. Is that correct? Thank you. Singers sang. Musicians played. Ushers ushered. Sound booth people turned on the mics. Thank you. Bus drivers this morning, I told the 8:30 service I preached this, I said, hey, the bus drivers were driving while I was preaching. The bus captains led songs to their little kids on their buses. Bus workers were trying not to let the bus kids kill each other. Someone this morning before you got here swept the hallways. Someone before you got here this week cleaned the bathrooms. Someone in your Sunday school class set up chairs for you to sit in. Teen workers help with teens. Kids workers right now are downstairs helping with the children. Nursery workers. Praise Jesus. Could you imagine me preaching right now with a choir of 10 babies or 20 babies? Ain't no preaching going on. Nursery workers are helping those babies. By the way, they're amening me right now. I think they can hear me through the mics. They just amened, okay? I preached. Congregation listened. Those are just a few of the things going on right now. By the way, church, it's all week. We have stuff going on all week. Every single day there's things going on. And can I say this? Pastor cannot do all the things I just mentioned. Brother TJ, I do a lot here at Grammy Baptist Church. I try to serve God with everything I have. as much as I can, but you know what? I can't do it all. I told one person, I said, man, I'm waiting for the person to invent cloning because I would love to clone myself. I would get double done. It'd be great. But you know what? That don't exist yet. We need people to help. Brother Hoxie's one man. He can't do everything. And by the way, you're only one man or one woman too. But see, all of us together can help this church function the way it is supposed to. It takes everybody. And by the way, the body needs to always go in the same direction. If one foot is going one way and the other foot is going the other way, that's weird looking, number one, but it ain't going to work. And for me and you, no matter where we're serving, no matter what ministry we find ourselves, it's that cross right there that is our driving force. Why do we sing? We sing for Jesus, and so that people know that he died on the cross to save us from our sins. Are you getting the picture? Our church takes all of us serving, and we all have to be serving for the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, Are you guys ready? I told you those seatbelts. They're not there. We need them. Here we go. I got to go so quick. Number four, I want you to know this. According to these verses, verses 6 through 8, all of us have been given spiritual gifts that help us in the body of Christ. If you're a Christian, according to these verses, God has specially equipped you with a spiritual gift. Spiritual gift that while you're here serving, you can use. Now, some will say, Brother TJ, how many gifts can you have? There's seven of them here in this passage. By the way, this is the easiest passage to understand on that. Do I have just one? I personally believe, you can argue with me later, I think you have one spiritual gift that God gave you that's predominant. Like, it's easy for you because God made you that way. The other ones, since they're spiritual gifts, I think you can work on and you can get better. I'll show you quickly. I'm going to go through the seven. Are you ready? As I go through them, this is supersonic. Everyone nod your head. Are you still good? Okay. Supersonic. Which one do you have? And then I want you, as you think, oh, that's the one. I want you to ask this question. Am I using that gift for the Lord? Because all of us have the gifts. That don't mean we're using them. Let's go. Here we go. Very quickly. 5 minutes. I'm going to go quick. Oh, man. That's 1 minute per point, or 1 minute per one of these. Verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. God's grace is what gave you that spiritual gift. Verse number 6. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy. Prophesy is the first one, or prophecy. Prophecy is telling God's word or God's message to other people. Okay? Maybe you're one of those people, you're blunt. You see things black and white. Hey, this is what God's word says. You might have the gift of prophecy. That is a prophet. You're telling other people God's message. Many pastors across America probably have the gift of prophecy. They get up behind a pulpit and they tell you God's message. It's prophecy. Not all of them have it, but I would say many do. By the way, I'm going to give you a Bible example of each too. Can I do that? All right? John the Baptist is your Bible example. John the Baptist did not care what anyone thought. He was going to tell you what God's message was. Okay? John the Baptist, prophecy. Letter B, or the second one, ministry, verse 7. Or ministry, let us wait on ministering. Now, ministry, I researched this. The Greek word there, ministry, actually comes from a word that means to wait tables. A waitress or a waiter. So when it says ministry here, it's someone who loves serving other people. There's some of you in here, you would never come up behind this pulpit because it would scare you to death. But man, behind the scenes, all you want to do is serve. What can I do? What more can I do? Is there any way I can help? I'll show up. You tell me when. I'll be here to serve. You probably have the gift of serving. Bible example, Martha. Remember the Bible says she was busy serving? Now, the negative of that is she forgot to talk with Jesus because she was serving. Probably had the gift of ministry. By the way, if you don't agree with that, that's okay. Okay, you can tell me later. The third one, teaching, verse number 7, where he that teacheth on teaching. A person who has the spiritual gift of teaching is a person who has a heart for teaching others what they know about God's word. Many Sunday school teachers probably have the gift of teaching. They have a heart for teaching other people God's words. They feel fulfilled by that. They love that. You say, hey, what's your favorite part about church? I love when I get to teach the third grade boys the Bible. Probably have the gift of teaching. I think Paul could be an example of the gift of teaching. Paul taught Timothy. Paul taught Titus. Paul started all these churches and then taught and trained and then wrote letters, which are doctrinal, a.k.a. teaching. Still with me? Everyone still good? Still alive? I got four more. I'm going quick. 3 minutes. Oh, no. Verse 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Exhorteth or encouragement. By the way, if you have the gift of encouragement, it is the easiest thing on planet Earth to see. And I could give you a list of our church members right now who I know have the gift of encouragement. Here's how you know. They'll come up to you. Hey. Hello. Man, I just wanted you to know that you are just awesome. And you and your family, boy, we are just so happy. Man. Encouragement. That's their gift. They write letters. They make phone calls. They'll shoot you a text out of the blue because that's their gift. They're encouragers. Barnabas is the Bible example. He was called the son of consolation. His nickname literally meant encourager. Okay? That means he probably had the gift of encouragement. Next one. Giveth, verse 8. He that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. A person with a spiritual gift of giving looks for ways to give over and above that which God requires and usually doesn't want recognition. That's why it says simplicity there. They give and they don't want anyone even to know about it. This is a person, and by the way, we're all supposed to give. God requires that. But some people, they're giving way over and beyond. They hear pastors say, hey, we have a missionary in need. And they're like, here, take it. They hear a need, and they immediately just jump to give towards it, to fill it, to help it. Because they probably have the gift of giving. A couple Bible examples, the woman with two mites. She didn't give a lot, but she gave all. She went over and above. The churches in Macedonia, 2 Corinthians 8, where Paul mentions that they gave sacrificially. The next one, two left. Everyone still good? I'm running out of breath up here. I need a Mountain Dew. Number 8, he that ruleth with diligence. Ruling, sometimes called administration. Now, some of you are really organized. Some of you, you're not. Teenagers, we just have to look at your bedroom. We'll tell you if you're organized or not, okay? But administration or ruling means you're good at overseeing others. If I gave you 10 people to help you in a ministry, those 10 people would all come back to me and say, Brother TJ, every time we help, I want that person over me. They're so good. Versus the one who you're like, I do not want Brother TJ again, okay? That's probably the difference between someone who has the gift of ruling and someone who doesn't. Bible example would be Ezra and Nehemiah, Old Testament. When they got the children of Israel, they rebuilt the temple. Rebuilt Jerusalem there, and God used them to oversee it. And then the last one is mercy. Verse number 8, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, the gift of mercy. This is someone who is kind and compassionate towards the hurts of others. The hurts of others. They see someone's hurts, and it's almost like they feel it themselves. Okay? By the way, not everyone has it. Brother C doesn't have that gift of mercy. Okay? You drive down the road, you're like, oh, look at that, that's so sad. And I'm like, what? You know, I don't have the gift of mercy. By the way, I said, I think all of us have one, but I think we should all be working on all of them. I try to be more merciful. I try. Sometimes I'm not. My wife will say, Brother TJ, more mercy. She doesn't call me Brother TJ. TJ, more mercy. Something I got to work on. But maybe you're that person. And boy, you see the hurts of others. And by the way, here at church, you see someone, oh, let's pray together. Oh, I'm praying for you all week. Like, they almost feel your pain. Why? They have the gift of mercy. Those are the 7 that are listed here. Can I ask this question? Which one do you have? Which one is, and of those, probably one came to your mind. And can I ask you this question? Are you using it? Are you using it? The ministry you're helping, where you're serving, God's given you a spiritual gift to use. Are you helping the body of Christ? Can I tell you? Every single one of us, there's no useless organs in God's body. Every one of us, God has a plan and purpose for here at Grandview Baptist Church or whatever church you attend. God has a plan for you. Can I ask you, are you using the spiritual gift he's given you to help the body of Jesus Christ? With heads bowed, eyes closed, we're going to have our invitation. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I'm done this morning. With heads bowed, eyes closed, can I ask you a question, though, real quick? And that is this, with heads bowed, eyes closed, I wonder if there's someone here today that not even the body of Christ, you just have never accepted Jesus as your Savior. I was 5 years old. I remember the day. I remember where I was when I let Jesus into my heart. I prayed and I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Before you do anything, you need to get that settled. You got to get that taken care of. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ, I'm going to say a prayer out loud. It's not magic, but I'm going to word a simple prayer. And if you've never accepted Christ, would you word a simple prayer in your heart? It doesn't have to be exactly like this, but would you word a prayer to accept Him as your Savior? Pray something like this. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Dear Jesus, I know I cannot save myself. But Jesus, I ask that you come to my heart and save me and take me to heaven when I die. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I wonder, is there anyone here today? I won't embarrass you, I promise. But I wonder if there's someone here today in the service that would say, Brother TJ, for the first time in my life, as you prayed that prayer out loud, I prayed in my heart, and I meant it, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior just now. Is there anyone? Would you slip your hand up? I won't call you out. I'm just looking around myself. I'm the only one looking. Is there anyone? Say, Brother TJ, I prayed, I asked you this into my heart. Is there anyone? I'm looking. Give me a second. I don't see any hands. Here's what that means. We're all saved. We know we're on our way to heaven. Can I ask you, Christian, then? Are you serving? God's given you grace. He's even given you a spiritual gift. Are you serving? Here's what we're going to do in just a second. The piano's going to play. And when it plays, if you need to do business with God, you can come forward to an old-fashioned altar. Just these steps up here. Take a minute to connect with God. Would you stand to your feet this morning with heads bowed, eyes closed, as the piano plays? If you need to come forward, would you come? Maybe you're here this morning. You've been saved, but you've never made that public. No one else knows. We'll tell the whole congregation you've been saved. Maybe you're here today, you've never been baptized. We've got some men at the front can help you with that. Maybe you're here today and you want to make this your church home and you want to be a member of Granby Baptist Church. We'd love to have you. For any reasons, if you need to come forward, would you come? As you're at your seat, would you connect with the Lord even if you're not coming? Would you take a minute to pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. God, thank you so much for your word. Romans chapter 12, Lord, really simple. God, I hope it was a blessing. Lord, help all of us in our areas of service, Lord, to remember your grace and to remember to be humble and, Lord, to serve you with our lives. We love you, Jesus. Please bless in your precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a next video. This is going to give you some of the announcements coming up for the next week, and we encourage you to watch this. And then as soon as that is done, we are going to let you dismiss. The piano will play as soon as that video is done. And we are glad that you're here. I did want to say this. If you're a visitor, don't forget that visitor table. Also, next step, if you're looking to take the next step here at Granby Baptist Church, we should have some men out there as well to answer any questions you might have. God bless you. Let's watch this video, and then we'll be dismissed.
Good morning and welcome to our service. We hope this morning's sermon from Romans was a blessing to you. Join us back here tonight at 5 as we continue our series on the book of Hebrews.
Mount Zion Baptist Teen Camp begins tomorrow. The buses will begin loading luggage at 4:30 a.m. and will leave the church at 5 a.m. The cost is $220, and as a reminder, each teenager must have their money and permission form turned in before leaving tomorrow. Payments can be made in the bookstore today or online at grandviewcares.com. Also, please be sure to pick up a teen camp booklet from the welcome desk and read over the packing list to know what to bring and what not to bring. For questions or more information, see TJ Gardner.
We are looking forward to Teen Sunday on August 8th, where the Grandview teenagers will give testimonies, lead congregational singing, give the announcements, and provide special music. So please join us for this special service on August 8th at 11 a.m. Join us for a special treat on Sunday evening, August 15th, as we'll hear from Christian comedian Tim Lovelace, who will share funny yet applicable truths and special music for us to enjoy.
There will be ushers at the back doors if you'd like to give your offering as you exit. If this is your first time here, you might have questions, and we'd be happy to answer those questions. As you exit the auditorium, look for guest services. We'd love to meet you and give you a gift card. Have a great afternoon, and we'll see you tonight at 5.